Welcome to the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast. I'm Stephanie Laska, best-selling author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto.
And I'm Tamara Sneezik, professor of sociology. We believe there are many paths, often unconventional, to achieve your goals. But we get stuck thinking we have to follow experts and fixed set of rules.
Well, as the leader of the Dirty Lazy Keto Facebook support group with over 200,000 members, I see people are hungry for a fresh approach, not just for weight loss, but to help live their very best life. Season 2 of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast will provide lifestyle advice, lots of fun support, and practical tips to help you at home. Because you know what? You don't have to be perfect to be successful. Join us.
This may be TMI, Stephanie, but I had a mole on my foot.
That's attractive.
I know. It was bothering me, not like painful or anything, but every time I looked at it, I got nervous and worried about it because it was a really odd shape, kind of a weird shape. And then I got even more nervous because over time, it seemed to change shape and get darker. And you and I both know those are things that should bring you to the doctor, right? Like, let your doctor look at it. But did I? No. I put it off for 7 years. For 7 years, I worried about this dang mole and didn't do one thing about it. When I finally did, it was painless. I mean, I went in there. It took 5 minutes. There wasn't even a copay. Came back. Everything was fine. And now I never have to worry about that mole again. But honestly, Stephanie, like, why did I let this happen? I was, like, getting in my own way of something really tiny and simple.
Well, I don't think you're alone, Tamara. We get in our own way, like, constantly. Yes. And yes. Whether we're in denial or making up false excuses, I mean, I can tell you, back in my day, it took me months to start exercising, okay? I know I talk a lot about it now, like, oh, I'm out running, yeah. And I'm this, and I'm... No.
I'm a marathoner.
It did not happen overnight, okay?
Yeah.
I have to tell you, there was a time I had lost about 50 pounds, but I had hit a huge stall. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing was working, and I convinced myself that I was so busy.
Right.
With my very busy schedule of yes. Whatever it is I do. But I argued with myself, Tamara. I said, oh... I can't exercise. I don't have time. When would I shower? How would I get to work on time? Yeah. Who's going to make... Oh, the children can't make their own lunches or breakfast.
You did it for the children.
I was completely full of BS.
Yeah.
And looking back, I see it was just total self-sabotage.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it. I did not want to exercise.
Yeah.
And the truth is, though, kind of like with your mole, once I got over myself and called myself out on my fake excuses... I was able to get moving, and thankfully, just like you were healthy with your mole, once I got out of my way, I went on to lose 90 pounds. 90 freaking pounds after I finally stopped lying to myself about who was going to make the lunches for the children.
And you look back, and you're like, why didn't I do it sooner? Like, why was I in my own way? Like,
Nobody was stopping me.
No.
I was the only one in my way.
You can't blame anybody else. I mean, that's why I think it's so important we talk about this, because sadly, we're the ones keeping us from doing what we need to, not some boogeyman, not some sabotaging, you know, partner or family member. It's our own darn selves. And it keeps us from doing, like, important things like overcoming a fear or learning a new technology or just all facets of getting healthy, whether it be checking your mole or exercising or starting that new diet.
Well, in today's podcast, we're going to help you stop this self-fulfilling prophecy. We are going to help you identify all the creative ways self-sabotage is likely to show up. But that's not all. We're not going to just complain, because that's crabby. We want to then reshift our conversation and explore 5 patented dirty lazy girl strategies that will help you beat down self-sabotage like a whack-a-mole.
But first, let's take a quick break.
All right, Tamara, many of our listeners, they're starting off the new year. I'm sure they're not alone with a weight loss goal. We all have them. Don't be shy. But I do want to help our listeners. My new book will help teach you how to make 100 affordable, easy recipes that are all under 10 net carbs per serving. It's called The Dirty Lazy Keto Cookbook, Bend the Rules to Lose the Weight. Links to order at dirtylazyketo.com/books or in stores everywhere.
Awesome. Can't wait for that. Okay, self-sabotage pops up when you're least expecting it. And I think sometimes you don't even realize you're sabotaging yourself. But the most common ways it surfaces in your daily life, like what it's going to look like, I think one is it comes in the form of self-criticism.
Oh, yeah. That's where you're like looking in the mirror and you're like, oh, I'm this and I could never do this.
Yeah.
And
where? I look terrible in the workout pants.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some like lame thing like, oh, I'll be too fat for the gym equipment or, you know, some dumb thing like that.
Or I could never make a website or start my own business.
Yeah.
I could never figure out that computer stuff.
Yeah. I'm just not smart enough or I'm just not up to date or whatever. I think it also shows up in terms of when we compare ourselves to others.
Oh, I think we all do that. Like on Facebook, you're looking at your friends and old childhood, you know, neighbors, what they're up to.
Yeah. I see it on the Facebook page where they'll say, well, they lost 40 pounds in 2 weeks.
Right. Like and, that's really happening.
And I've only lost 5. And it's like, seriously? No, we no, see that all the time. Thing. It's like, why are you comparing?
But they do. Like, oh, all you gals, you lost 20 pounds your first month and I only lost 10. Yeah.
I mean, compare. We're at different places and we use that as a way to stop ourselves.
It's a self-sabotage.
It is a total self-sabotage.
Well, another one that's pretty common too, not just with weight loss, but minimizing what you've accomplished. This is a big one.
Yeah.
For me.
You did it on the way over here.
I don't like to celebrate anything because I'm always worried that it'll jinx it. It's weird.
No, I hear you do it. You'll have some great accomplishment, another book deal or whatever, and you'll say, oh, it's nothing. And well, I'm like, Stephanie.
It might get canceled or something. I don't know.
You get very superstitious.
Maybe
that's another one to add.
Oh, well, put that on the list. Superstitious Stephanie.
Well, and this is part of it, too, is that fear to take risks.
Yes, it is fear.
It's fear. It's fear of risk and also, like, looking bad.
Yeah.
You know, because that new step or the direction you're trying to go can be scary.
It is very scary.
Yeah.
Well, I know, too, a lot of people, I have a friend in particular, she constantly compares herself to the past.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, I used to be able to do this in high school.
Yeah.
And I used to be able to do that. And I'm like, but you're like 50 now.
Yeah.
What's up? Like, you're not in high school.
And it holds you back.
It really does. Yeah. Because she never wants to do anything. Well, when I was in high school, I could do this.
Yeah. That's like, I do that to myself in exercise. Like, oh, I can't do yada yada. Mm-hmm. Right. I can't do a back bend in my yoga class. I'm like.
So then you wouldn't go.
No.
Because you feel like I can't do what I used to be able to do.
Yeah. And it's like, no, it's you silly. Have a new standard.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to go by the old.
We've grown up. No more false excuses.
Yes. And the past is safer, too.
Yeah. That's like. True. Well, it's an excuse.
Yeah.
It and is. We use it's self-sabotage.
I think the final thing that where I see this self-sabotage is just total denial that you need to change.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, like, you know, like with weight loss or, you know, I'll pretend that the dryer is shrinking my jeans. That's my big denial. Oh, it's not that I've gotten fatter. It's the dryer's running too hot.
Well, you know, I've heard a lot of people too say this one. Oh, well, I'm in perfect health. My blood pressure's fine. My cholesterol's fine. Yeah. I don't need to exercise.
Yeah.
I don't need to eat vegetables. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
That makes no sense.
Just because your blood pressure is fine today doesn't mean you should just eat like cheese all day long.
No. And those aren't the only.
Fast food. You might need to mix it up.
Exactly. And those aren't the only measures of health either, by the way.
It's just an indicator. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's easy to just deny that you know, you even need change, you know, and stay in your rut.
Well, what are we going to do to stop all this crazy self-sabotage, Tamara?
I don't know, because we need to work hard at it. It's not like anything we've tackled. I mean, it takes some work.
Well, normally, like when it's other stuff, like a cake pusher at work, you know, you can get away from those people. But when it's ourselves.
How do you get away from yourself?
Yeah, you got to.
Yikes.
Kind of face the music.
Well, okay, well, I guess the good of that is that because it's ourselves, we can change ourselves.
We're the ones in charge, Tamara.
Right. So It's hard because it's yourself, but in the way it's easy, it's because you're in charge.
This is the one thing you have control you do, over.
Of your darn self. So one suggestion I have, well, okay. The first of the five, right?
We got five patented.
We're calling it...
Tara thinks that's funny.
And I do.
Patented dirty lazy girl techniques.
And we're going to enforce that patent trademark. It's a trademark, actually.
That's right. Whatever. Don't steal it.
Sorry. Okay, so the patent phrase is, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
What are you going to say yes, ma'am to?
Quit saying no to yourself. You
say
know.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Like, for example, Tamara, you look beautiful today.
Yes, ma'am. That's hard for me.
Was that weird?
It's hard. I am terrible at accepting compliments.
But it matters, right?
It really matters. It really matters. You need to say it and learn to believe it. That's so hard.
It is hard. But saying yes, ma'am, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to say yes, ma'am, but... But basically, you're accepting a compliment.
Yeah.
You're being positive about what you can do.
Yeah.
And even saying those, like, goofy, repetitive phrases...
Yeah.
Or phrases to yourself, like aphorisms.
Yeah.
Or writing them on a sticky note.
Yeah.
Putting them on your mirror.
And saying yes to yourself. So if you're getting up in the morning, do I really want to exercise? Yes, you do.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Just say yes. You know, should I start that new, you know, to learn that new technology that I've been putting off?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah.
You can do anything.
Yes. And you have to tell yourself
did
that.
Did you see how she hesitated?
I know.
She's all,
because I'm bad at that.
Well, this is number one is your goal then.
Say yes.
Say yes to Tamara.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, what's number two?
Number two is what if.
What if?
Okay. What if? Okay, now I do this. I call it like spinning. I get caught in this web of worry where I'm like, what if I miss my flight? And what if the weather is bad?
Yeah.
And what if I don't get there in time?
Yeah.
And what if I forget what I'm supposed to say? And what if I'm bad?
It's like all those anxieties get projected onto what's going to happen bad if you do whatever it is.
And you just keep spinning.
Yeah.
What if, what if, what if?
So how do you stop that? You just recognize that you're doing it?
Well, yes, you can catch yourself before the craziness starts, because I do that.
Yeah.
But also, I know this sounds strange, but play out that rumination.
Yes.
Keep going with it and say, okay, what if my flight got canceled?
Yes.
Okay, then you take another one.
Yes.
What if there was bad weather? Well... Then it might rain on you or snow on you.
Yes.
And you might get there, you know, with less time.
Yes.
Oh, well, what if you forget what to say? Well, then you'll say something else.
And I have another suggestion.
Yeah.
Also add in, what if a good thing happens? What if it doesn't rain, I get there on time, and I have a fabulous trip?
Whoa.
So
I haven't even thought of that.
Yes. And that's our tendency is to go to the negative.
Oh, I
so
like
force
that.
Yourself to do the what if positive.
Oh, look at you, Professor.
Yeah, you're
that's
welcome.
That's very good advice. I love that.
All right.
Awesome. I just had an aha moment. What if something great happened?
I probably stole it from some
whatever.
Other podcast.
That's your patented move.
Theirs wasn't patented.
Well, I self-patented. I self-patented my tips.
Good
but
Lord.
I like that. What if something great happens?
Yes. Okay. Number three is build a shrine.
Now, I think Tamara thought I was weird when I put this down.
Well, that sounds like something Oprah would say.
Well, I do this all over my house.
Oprah, give us a call, Oprah.
Oprah, I'm available for your visit.
Yes.
But
okay.
No, I know this sounds weird, but in my house, like I'll give you an example. If something's important to me in my house, I build a shrine about it. So for example, when I leave my bathroom on my wall, there's a wall of all the medals that I've collected from all my races piled up onto each other. And I see it every time I come out of the bathroom. And it
How
for
inspiring.
Me, I know. It's like right there.
Yeah.
Because I see it, you know, every time I go to the bathroom. And then it's right next to the laundry room, which has a big wall of like all of our leashes and dog collars and our running bands and our running arm, you know, headphones, like all the stuff that goes with it. It's this huge shrine in our house devoted to something that's important.
Running.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I'm trying to think.
It doesn't look pretty.
It does to you.
Well, we were talking, Tamara, about your laundry room.
I
would like to suggest that you build a shrine.
I need one.
Tell us about your laundry room and what's going on.
My laundry room is disgusting.
No, about your exercise stuff.
Oh, you mean...
Yeah, all your hooks.
Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't done it yet. That's
what
I was like...
This is what
we
made me
talked
think of
about
you.
It because I need, because I want to. This is on my... And I just need to say yes, ma'am, and do
yes,
it.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is put a bunch of hooks in there. Yeah, because I was like, I have... my exercise socks and shorts and headbands and every and all over that, scattered all over. And you had suggested taking the laundry room and putting up the hooks, because I've already got hooks.
It doesn't have to look pretty.
No,
just do
you're
it.
Right. I was just also thinking that another shrine I had just occurred to me is my artwork.
Yes, you do. They
inspire
I've seen
me.
That office of yours. You have and all I the
added,
paintings.
I've added two more since you've last seen it. And in my office, too.
You're right.
I have.
We're looking
I've
at
been
it.
Put, yeah, if I have a painting I like, I'm now putting it in my office. So I'm like surrounding myself
with the things you love that inspire you.
Yes,
that's it.
That's my shrine.
So, okay, yesterday my husband asked, we have a very crowded house with my children and dog, very small kitchen. And yesterday my husband asked, could we make a giant rack of all of our cooking stuff in the middle of the kitchen? And I was like, no, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it. And what we're, because we're cooking so much, right, with all of our cookbooks, we can't find all of our stuff. It's like in the garage, it's in cabinets, you know, deep, you have to get on your knees, and you cannot find the weird ingredient or kitchen gadget we need. So he wants to put it all in one spot.
Are you
going to
do it?
I'm going to.
Good for you.
Because after, I mean, this is important to us. We're cooking all day, every day. We need a shrine.
Yeah. And you know what you had said, this cures one of your other things that you talked about before, is your perfectionism.
Yes.
And this need to be like Betty Crocker or Martha Stewart
it's
home.
It's not happening.
You know what? Because my first thought would be, too, I don't want to have this messy kitchen.
Yeah,
like,
it'll
junk
look terrible.
Piled up.
Like a giant cart
But you know
of
what?
Crap.
It's also a...
it looks terrible.
But if you look at it, reframe it. It is a shrine to the cool stuff you're doing.
We're cooking. We need our stuff.
Yes. You're doing cool recipes for a book.
And it motivates you to
see
it, because we have a lot to do.
So I say do it.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
My husband won. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Here's another one. And I think both of us.
This is Tamara's favorite one.
I know. And both of us are guilty of this one.
Yeah.
Is don't be cheap.
Don't be cheap.
Because if you've been listening to us, we are cheap.
Well, I don't have any money.
We have a coupon or Groupon for everything.
Coupon or Groupon.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I feel like, I feel guilty when I have to spend money on something.
Yeah. Me too.
We were thinking about at our house, we get a computer like every maybe 6 years.
Which is, you're supposed to be every three, I think.
Well, I'm honest.
Girl, don't be
like
cheap.
Six. Well, this was the thing. Yeah. We were trying to write our last book, and our computer would freeze, and we'd lose what we'd written.
Oh, good
And then
Lord.
We'd have to reboot it, and it would take 10 minutes.
That's terrible.
Yeah. And my husband kept trying to fix it, and I'm like, we need
it's
to spend money on
this
and buy a stupid computer.
You're investing in yourself.
Well, that's the thing, is when you do invest money in your goals.
Yeah.
That's a way, it's a self-sabotage.
Yes.
By keeping an old, junky computer.
That makes it hard for you to do what you need to do.
And, by the way, we had one.
Oh, my goodness.
And my husband and I wrote the cookbook together. So we would take turns
oh,
and
good
argue
Lord.
About whose turn it was to use the computer.
Yeah, you need
to. I don't
think
I've ever told anyone that.
And, you know, they're not that expensive
they're
anymore.
They're really not.
You know? Seriously.
It's embarrassing, Tara.
It's kind of like the bra thing. Just get a new bra.
That's
just get a new
bra. Easier said than done.
It is true. Because here I am saying, oh, just get a new one. But honestly, I'm just as cheap as you.
But maybe it was self-sabotage.
It probably is.
Yeah.
So take the
now
money.
We have two new computers, and now there's no excuses.
Exactly.
So
that's
now
why
we have to get in there and get busy.
And that's why you need to invest money, because it kind of forces you to do it, right?
Yep.
Okay. Last but not least.
This one's funny.
Be selfish.
Be selfish.
Be a selfish biatch.
Oh,
wait. I said that wrong. Weatch. Another one for the blooper reel.
What does it mean to be selfish when it comes to self-sabotage, in your opinion?
It's saying no to other things that are going to get in the way of you doing what you want to do. Whether it be a kid wanting your constant attention, or work that, you know, you're not saying no to. Just back to drawing boundaries around things that are going to stop you from this.
And it can be hard. You think, I have to do this for my church, or I have to do this for work in this committee, or whatever. But the bottom line is, I said no to exercising for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Or 100 years, it felt like.
Yeah.
But it was all because I kept saying, I have to take care of my kids.
Yes.
And I wasn't leaving the house.
Yes.
Because I had to make them a breakfast, and I had to make them lunch. I really didn't.
Yeah.
Somebody else could do it.
You know what's helped me with that?
Yeah.
Is I tell
Hot
myself.
Lunch.
Yes, ma'am.
That.
No.
Yes, ma'am.
Is to tell myself, I'm a bad role model when I don't take time for myself and to do the things that I need to. And it's a good role modeling for my kids to say no and say, no, honey, right. Mommy needs to do this thing because mm-hmm. it's important to her. She needs to see that I care for myself. Like, we right. want them to care for themselves and prioritize themselves. They're not going to, the best way to do that is to do it to yourself. And that helps, you know, I have to remind myself of that.
No, this is a tricky one as women. Yeah. I think we're guilty.
We are.
You know, even at dinner, my daughter is vegan right now, which is, yeah. you know, that's great for her. I'm yeah. proud of her for being her own little person.
Yeah.
But right now I'm making dinner for myself, for yeah. my husband, for yeah. my daughter, and for my son. So it's like yeah. 3 to 4 different dinners. Yeah. And that's irritating.
That's crazy.
So I've stopped and I've said, I'm being selfish. I make food that I like,
yeah.
that I think most people at the dinner table would like. And if you would like something different,
yeah,
you can fix it yourself. Well, and I will help you. I'll show you where the things are. Yeah. I'll buy it for you.
Because she's old enough.
Yeah. When you're about driving a car, you yeah. can heat up your own meal.
And you know what? You're empowering her.
Yeah.
To take her life under her own control. Sorry.
Not every day, no. but I am being selfish. No, but I don't have time to cook dinner for everyone differently.
But here's the way to look at it. If she wants to be vegan, she needs to start to learn how to read labels and
yeah.
read recipes. And because, you know, in a couple of years, Stephanie, sadly, she's going to be in college on yeah. her own. And she won't know how to do it unless you give. So you're actually giving her an opportunity.
That's true. I'm reframing it because
yes.
that's something self-sabotage, Tamara, because I'm saying, yes. oh, well, I better make everyone else's food and not mine. Bad. Yeah. And that could interfere with me making sure I'm making healthy food for myself and yeah. the rest of the family yeah. if I'm always being a martyr for someone else.
Well, you know what? If it's any consolation, I just had this talk with my daughter who's in junior high going into high school next year. And I'm like, I still make her lunch.
Oh, no, you did not.
I do. And I said to her, so we had a talk. And I said,
she's almost driving too.
So you're going to be in high school.
She used to make her own sandwich.
You used to make your own sandwich. And I can't believe I waited this. But it's that same thing. I feel like I'm a bad mom.
You're very important when you make the lunch.
Yeah. And she argued with me. And she said,
she will.
Yeah. And I said, no, honey, I'm empowering. She didn't totally buy it, but I'm going to keep going.
Told her that was,
you know, I'm going to set a boundary.
Step 5 of the patented dirty lazy girl technique.
Be a selfish weeotch.
Tell her. Well, listeners, we're dying to know if you can try one of these strategies at home. And we want to know if it helps you stop your own self-sabotage. Tell us your story by emailing Stephanie@dirtylazyketo.com or via Facebook or Instagram @dirtylazyketo. You can even leave us a voicemail at 802-58-KETO-6. That's 802-585-3866. Your comment or question might be featured on an upcoming episode. Tamara, I have one.
What?
I have a listener email.
Oh, let's hear it.
Do you want me to, can I read it?
Yeah, right. Please read it.
Okay, Cher, this one's for you, girl. She says, good morning, Stephanie and Dr. Tamara.
Oh, I get the doctor.
I didn't get anything.
I feel very respected.
Cher. She says, I love listening to your podcast each week. I listen to it every Monday morning. You lift my spirits each and every week.
Oh, thank you, Cher.
She says, happy holidays. Can't wait for my cookbook to arrive.
Oh.
Cher.
Oh, you know what? Those are so meaningful, honestly.
I keep them all.
I know. We read them and cherish them. Thank you very much. So before we go to our final hack, we're going to take a final break.
Are you tired of eating the same things over and over again? If you would like some help and would like some new keto recipes to help you stay motivated for the new year, check out my new book, available in stores everywhere, The Dirty Lazy Keto Cookbook, Bend the Rules to Lose the Weight. Links to order are at dirtylazyketo.com/books or available in a store near you.
Awesome. Okay, Steph, what is your hack?
Well, I don't think eating healthy has to be expensive. Eating healthy does not have to be expensive. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay.
That makes total sense.
Here's my hack, Tamara.
Okay.
For a long time, I used to think it did. So I would convince myself that if I couldn't go to like Whole Foods or, you know, whatever fancy grocery store was outside of my family's budget, then I would say, oh, I don't have to eat that way. It costs too much. We'll just make, you know, pasta or whatever, rice. And I feel like I was wrong. So my hack for everyone is to take a look at some of the grocery stores in your community that maybe you've never been to before.
Yeah.
We have a lot of budget grocery stores that I started going into, and I would find that the fruits and vegetables were very affordable.
Yeah.
But I had to get out of my comfort zone and go to new stores. Not the, you know, the neighborhood one that everyone shops at. Like, maybe it's in a different part of town.
Yeah.
But they are available. And I think if you push yourself,
you
might discover that eating healthy doesn't have to be expensive.
Exactly. And there's also resources out there that will give you tips about, you know, online about, you know, cheaper ways of eating keto. Okay. My hack is to do a power hour.
Power hour.
One I'm stealing directly from Gretchen Rubin's Happier Podcast. Sorry if she patented that, this hack. But what she recommends is that you take a period of time and you just power through a bunch of whatever you're avoiding or dreading doing, and then just stop. So, like, for instance, if your email's out of control and you need to delete, you know, zillions of emails, she's like, 5 minutes a day. Just 5 minutes, power through. She's like, you'd be amazed at what you do. I tried it with cleaning. So let's say I'm exhausted. The kitchen's a mess, let's say. And I don't have the time or the energy. So I tell myself, I go, okay, I do a power 15. I call it power 15.
Power hour, seriously, otherwise known as power 15.
Yes. That's funny. So I know. I didn't know what else to call it. But power 15, I literally go like a madwoman whirlwind for 15 minutes. And Stephanie, you would be shocked at what happens in 15 minutes. Like, I literally set a timer and I can get the sink cleared, the counters wiped off, and it's looking kind of pretty spiffy. I mean, it's not deep clean, but it looks spiffy in 15 minutes. So whatever.
You said spiffy. That's a funny word.
I know. Well, and so whatever the task is that, you know, especially if it's something you're sabotaging, that's a more monotonous and time consuming, try the power hour. Just do a little bit at a time at a super furious pace.
I think that's awesome.
It works.
Well, no matter what it is you're trying to accomplish, whether it's cleaning your kitchen, going back to school, eating healthy, there are no guarantees about getting that thing accomplished if you don't get out of your own way. That is what could be stopping you.
Yeah.
So get out of your own way. Jump on this great ride in your life. Dear listeners, I know I sound kind of silly,
sweet,
but it's true. I mean, the only thing that's stopping you is you.
Yeah.
So let's not make any more excuses and let's get this done.
Nice.
2020, here we come.
Here we come. Holla.
So listeners, we would really appreciate it if you took a few seconds and left a rate and review for our podcast. And I'm going to give you directions on how to do that. So on your phone, you can open up the Purple Podcast app, use the search tool, which is in your bottom right corner, and type in Dirty Lazy Girl, okay? Once you see our podcast, Dirty Lazy Girl, you're going to scroll down until you see the stars. And this is where you're going to leave your rating. So click on the stars. Feel free to give five.
Yeah, I was going to say, five rating.
We'll go ahead and suggest that. We'll be honest.
Yes.
And then lastly, click on leave a review or write a review. And you can leave a snappy, cute little title and then hit send. That's it. You're finished. And this really helps others decide if they should listen or not. Now, let's say you're not on your phone. Let's say you're on your desktop. If you open up Apple Podcasts, you open the iTunes store, you select the tiny podcast icon that is going to be in the top left corner of your screen. Again, use the search bar, type in Dirty Lazy Girl, and click on the artwork. In the center of the page, select ratings and review. You will have to log into iTunes, click on, quote, write a review, quote, and then finally leave a review by clicking on the stars, 5 stars, of course. Anyway, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to our podcast. I do have these directions on our website, dirtylazyketo.com/podcasts. And it really does help if you leave an honest rating and review. So thank you. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast.
And don't forget to visit dirtylazyketo.com, where you can join the conversation and gain access to all kinds of free content to help you on your dirty lazy journey.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider supporting us by subscribing, rating, and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Be sure to stay tuned for our next Dirty Lazy Girl podcast, where we give you even more tips and support.
You don't have to be perfect to be successful.
Bye. bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.